Hello, this is Chris Nelson for evolveconsciousness.org. I will be presenting an infographic that I made in August, I think, sometime this summer in 2014. It's called Natural Law Alchemy. This is about natural law individuation, realization, and actualization. I was doing a little bit of reading on alchemy or something, doing some research. I don't remember exactly. But as I was doing it, I was recognizing that the processes in alchemy mirrored the processes in natural law expressions in order to manifest a reality based on love and order or fear and chaos. So good or evil. So I made an infographic to correspond and correlate and juxtapose the various different models of how our lives operate as humans. So I have different color-coded aspects. In green are the four phases, starting from the initial force, the force of love or fear, so that's in green. And the correspondence also with the trivium and so it corresponds the trivium and natural law expressions with alchemical expression with the alchemical model. So the trivium method model and the natural law expressions model with the alchemical model. So we'll start at zero. The force of love is the positive, and the force of fear is a negative, and this is what fuels the rest. So originally it started off as an alchemical lab. I had started to draw it on paper to represent the alchemy with relation to natural law and the trivium in terms of an alchemical lab. So when you have a flask, you have a burner underneath, and that's what fuels the whole process. Because what you're trying to do is, in the flask, you have a substance that you're trying to evaporate and distill some impurities in order to refine the substance that you have, or in order to obtain a secondary substance from that distillation, and then to produce a concentrated substance of what you're looking for. So already you can see how this applies to alchemy, and where we're trying to dissolve or remove impurities in order to purify ourselves. That's where we burn away the impurities. We burn ourselves into ash and then remove the impurities and reconstitute ourselves, reborn anew again like the phoenix, reborn from the ashes. So the force of love and fear fuels the rest, positive or negative. And what we have on the base of the flask is the base of substance or appearances. So either we start with substance and we're going to refine to more pure substance, or we start with appearances and we'll just get more appearances. I think that's what I mean there. Yeah, it's what you're working with, or what the force is applying on. That is also in a brown liquid to represent earth. So I made it brown to match the alchemical, the trinity, I forget what they're called, but there's the four elements, and then there's the three somethings, I forget what they are, but this is how it relates to those three things. They are the three philosophical principles. And that is sulfur, mercury, and salt. So first we have salt, and I made it brown to represent the earth. And when we're looking into symbolism of alchemy, We also have bronze and lead to silver to gold. So that's why in the three essentials in alchemy, there's salt, mercury, and sulfur. It's the same as the bronze, lead, or the silver and gold. And there's also the colors of black, white, and red. And this is represented as the earth, water, and fire. Those are the three main ones. There's no air, because in the three essentials, there's no air. There isn't a fourth one. So there's salt, mercury, and sulfur. So there isn't a fourth one. So salt would be from the earth. Mercury and silver is associated with water. And sulfur, of course, fire. Sulfur is a production of fire and air. The mercury is a production between water and air. And the salt is a production between earth and water. So I had to pick between the four elements which one's more appropriately matched to this model that I was making. So we'll get back to that after. Now, when we start from the force of love, as a positive, or fear as a negative, that's the fuel for the rest, to fuel the alchemical process of transmutation. This is about evolution and change and growth. So, we have care and courage to face reality, or fear to ignore it. So in yellow again, we have four different phases to match four other different phases. So in blue, we're going to start with the aggregate world input. And the second part of the blue part is the individual internal processing, and then we have the individual external behavior. So that's just part of the trivium, where there's input, processing, and then you output through your behavior. And that's also in orange, where we have one, the input, that's the effect from reality. And then there's two, the processing, and that's the internal realization, where we're understanding things in reality through an internal processing. And then three in orange, we have the output, the effect on reality. So this is the trivium aspect. So if we go back to the beginning of force of love and fear, that's care and courage to face reality, or the fear to ignore reality. So we have the world input and the effect from reality. So here we have a base of quality knowledge as a positive, corresponding to love, or an insubstantive ignorance corresponding to fear. So you're either the care and courage to face reality in order to accumulate quality knowledge, things of importance, not useless facts that have no importance, but quality things. Or you can continue to ignore truth, not care for truth and morality, and fear the truth instead. And that would bring you to ignorance, because you're continuing to ignore truth. So as we heat up the brown substance, or the brown appearance, what we're going to get is some smoke. Some vapors, not some smoke. So we're going to heat up the liquid, we're going to get some vapors, and that's the green, squiggly, smoky vapor stuff that I have. And then eventually you see it condenses as it goes down, it cools down, and then it turns into the blue water. So we go back up to number two, the spirit of sovereignty, as a positive correlated with the force of love and the quality knowledge, brings you to a state of sovereignty through understanding yourself in reality. Or you can continue to be ignorant in fear, and all you'll get is confusion. You're not going to know what you're really doing. Maybe you'll lie to yourself, tell yourself that you know what you're doing, but you don't. That's usually the state. What happens? As the Dunning-Kruger effect, ignorant and unaware of it, you know, you overestimate your abilities. So people who are confused sometimes can't even recognize they're confused because they're so ignorant, and they think that they're doing the right things. So here, We have the removal of impurities and contradictions to reach clarity and definition. Or, conversely, in the fear and ignorance and confusion, we keep the contradictions and impurities and remain clouded in confusion and obscurity. So it's either we get the quality knowledge and develop ourselves by removing the contradictions in ourselves in order to see more clearly the definitions in ourselves and in reality, or keep the ignorance, keep the fear, and remain in confusion by keeping those contradictions and impurities to remain in obscurity and clouded vision. So up the vapor goes, and then we're going to process it. So as it comes down to, that's the processing part where we're removing impurities or leaving them. It's either a processing or a failure to process them. So that correlates to the trivium. Now, when it condenses, when the vapor condenses into a liquid, now we're at step three, where it's distilled into freedom and anarchy. So we've removed, first was the liquid with the impurities, or the less pure substance, or the less pure appearance. Then we distill it in order to remove contradictions. Then what we end up with in the third phase is we distill ourselves into manifestations of freedom and anarchy externally. If we're operating in the force of love through quality knowledge and sovereignty of ourselves, then we end up with freedom and anarchy externally manifested by each of us. Or if we're going from fear and ignorance and confusion, then we end up in external control and slavery. This is where our action and behavior is in wisdom or foolishness. And corresponding to the trivium aspect, this is where we produce our external behavior. So first input, then processing, then output. Same thing. So the water comes down, it goes into this new vial, and now it's cooled even more, so it's gotten even darker. So what I was trying to do was go from the color spectrum as well. So if we look at green, brown, I was going from, I guess, orange, you know, from red to yellow. There's an orangey, but brown is sort of like in the reddy, orangey area, but I wasn't going to put the liquid as red because I already have it at the end for the fire. So brown, and then we go to blue, and then we go to magenta purple after blue, and then we're back around to red, which is before the brown. So it goes around the color spectrum as well. And this is what the symbolism of the colors, that's what helped me do the spectrum of living and Philosopher's Stone later, that I discovered that I had insights about. So from the magenta purple, that's when it outputs into the final aspect of the effect on reality, the total aggregate output. See, the four in blue is aggregate world output, because in the three in blue was individual external behavior. So individually, what we are doing, we're creating in freedom and anarchy, or we're creating in external control and slavery. Now, in the aggregate, that's why from the purple, so from the blue, it went to purple, and then it went to red, because red, representative of the material world, as I represent in natural law boundary conditions and spectrum of living, and in the Philosopher's Stone, it represents the physical world, the matter. So we output and we have an effect on reality. So in the input in one in orange and then two and three, the input effect from reality, that's from red because it's from reality, from the matter, or what exists in reality, and then we output onto reality again. And that's part of the trivium. But in between, we have internal realization. Now, I put that in green because the internal realization part is more of a harmonizing and uniting aspect. And if you go back to the audio I did yesterday, on causality consciousness and trivium. I explained how the colors I used were not right and I should have used blue for green. And I forgot to mention that green is to represent the free will, our ability to choose, our consciousness, and true care. So that's the realization of our true self through the care for truth and morality. We're realizing more aspects of ourselves if we're trying to remove the contradictions and impurities. If we're doing from the force of love, not the force of fear, ignorance, and remaining in confusion. We have to actually care to better ourselves, and as we better ourselves, we are bettering ourselves as a true self, at least conceptually, the aspects of the ideal that we should strive to become, what we ought and should be. So from this, I was still going based on my previous color coding of red as matter, as the effect, and green as the cause and what was internal, because it's internal realization, and the other parts were the external reality affects us, and then at the end, we output an external effect on reality. So that's why I had it in green, because I was going on those colors. So, you know, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 in green doesn't match with the internal realization of green. Alright, I guess that's enough for that side note. Alright, so back to the last phase. So we're going from the blue, distilled, condensed, water, mercury, silver, down into a collection chamber and then slowly dripping out to the final beaker for collection of the refined substance or more appearances through a failure of proper distillation and internal processing and realization. So we have sulfur, gold, or red at the end, and we're going to have less than what we started with because we're removing things. So number four, what we end up as when we're distilled into freedom and anarchy as ourselves, after we've internally processed and realized ourselves, we express ourselves in a certain way, and then in the aggregate world output, we refine everything into order or chaos, depending on whether we're working from love or fear. So this is collective, co-created heaven or hell. And that's why symbolism for heaven and hell has to do with natural law. You can check out Truth, Natural Law, Heaven and Hell, Bible Symbolism presentation. It's all about how to live. That's what a lot of the symbolism in the Bible is. That couldn't be removed, and whoever wrote the original stories, they were used and altered in order to support power structures and rulership and domination or whatever. But there are certain truths within these corrupted books that many people want to immediately dismiss. And sure, you can dismiss them because they have a lot of lies, and if you blindly believe it's the word of God, then you're going to accept it all, even though it has contradictions. And that's what a bunch of idiotic religionists do. They're apologetics, and they blindly believe in something without substance. They say it's the word of God. That's their axiom. And then they go from there, they engage in doublethink, cognitive dissonance, and they maintain contradictory beliefs just because the contradiction is from the word of God, so therefore it's both true. Everything's true from that book. They don't have minds of their own. They can't think for themselves. They're brainwashed. Idiots. That's what religionists are. They're idiots. Why? Because they're attached to an institution. They're attached to an idea. They're still stuck in boxes. Get out. So you can read scriptures. You can read, you know, the Bible, the Satanic Bible or whatever it's called, and you can get information from there too, even though there's a bunch of bullshit trying to convince you to live your life in a certain way. Well, the Bible also has stuff that is bullshit to try to convince you to live your life in a certain bullshit way, but there's also aspects that haven't been altered that are part of the original symbolism that they didn't remove or could not remove. And so you can still uncover aspects of morality and tales of morality and moral codes, even though there's some degenerate shit in the book. You can still see it as a tale of what not to do, possibly, rather than, oh, God demands that this be done, so then it's a good thing. No, it's a tale about how not to be subservient to an external authority. And then the book, they just put the label God on it. In the Old Testament, it's all, I'm the authority and do what I say. And then when you, there's two aspects. There's the aspect of the authority dominator figure, and you just have to follow that authority, which is wrong. And then there's other aspects where it's a lesson of the ultimate authority of what we could call morality and natural law as representative through God, and how if you don't do with what the Godfather says, which is morality, if you don't live morally, if you don't live in good, then you're going to create your own hell. You're going to create your own negative consequences. So when you don't do what God says, well, God punishes you. Because if you don't do truth, you get consequence. So there's that aspect of symbolism as well. There's many ways of looking at how a story is told in order to understand it in ways that can help you live your life. So you do what is right, or you get what is wrong. So that's what it means. You follow God's will, the higher will, or you get punished. Now, of course, in the Bible, there's many instances where the higher will is a joke, and it's the male dominator bullshit. So you can't just take everything blindly in a blind correspondence and, oh, well, God means it's you got to follow God's will or else you get punished. That's what it means everywhere in the Bible. No, because there's times where, oh, yeah, sacrifice your son to me, kill your son. No, that's an instance where you don't follow blind authority and you got to think for yourself what morality is, and you don't just follow a blind authority. You know, there's different ways of interpreting these stories. So at the bottom in this infographic, I have appearance is less pure, diluted in distractions and illusions, to substance, more pure, refined, quality, essence, the elixir, the philosopher's stone. And I put phi stone as a play on the word on phi, 1.618, because it's that number is pretty special. I don't know why I used it here, phi stone. I guess I should have wrote another note when I did this. I don't know, maybe for harmony, because it represents harmony, I guess. I don't know. So everyone can actualize themselves in truth, and the aggregate result is each of us combined to produce the world. So the actualization in truth, that's why it's called natural law, individuation, realization, and actualization. And if you look at the step two, it's an internal realization, the internal processing. We're trying to process ourselves and reality in order to become better versions of ourselves, to become more substantive and less based in appearances. So people fear facing themselves, their wrongs, and they fear confronting the false image of being right and not doing any wrong. As I mentioned in the previous two audios and video presentation, to be right is important, or else you're going to go wrong. But the problem is people want to project their delusional negotiations with reality, and they conclude that I'm a good person because I don't do immoral things, and I don't do immoral things because I'm a good person. So they have this image of being right, even though they're not right. They have no concern with objective right and objective wrong. They just want to be right, even if they are wrong. So they'll project that they are right onto themselves, even though they're wrong, because they don't want to confront themselves honestly, the courage to face the mirror and see themselves for what they are, and the shadow, darkness, demon, negative, immorality, and evil that they manifest. They don't want to do that because they don't want to be wrong. They're in fear of facing themselves. So that's that presentation. Like I said, it's a summary on natural law expressions and the trivium related to alchemy with respect to the three essentials. So you can relate aspects of the tarot, Freemasonry, Kabbalah. Well, now I've related aspects of alchemy and how it directly corresponds to what all the other mystery schools are teaching, which is the natural law expressions, which is how to generate our reality. As it's mentioned in the natural law expressions chart, how to create our reality or have our reality created for us by being fools. So thank you very much for listening. Have a nice day. Take care. Peace.